Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In a few hours, fighting between Israeli forces and Iran-backed Hezbollah will pause for 60 days. It follows a ceasefire agreement reached between Israel and Lebanon's governments and more than a year of intense fighting. President Biden at the White House says the U.S. broker deal is designed to lead to a permanent ceasefire.
Civilians on both sides will soon be able to safely return to their communities and begin to rebuild their homes, their schools, their farms, their businesses, and their very lives.
Israel's prime minister thanking President Biden for his efforts that will ensure Israel can defend itself if Hezbollah does not follow the ceasefire terms. It could also lead to renewed efforts to end the war in Gaza and secure the release of hostages held by Hamas. Mexico's president says it will retaliate with its own tariffs after President-elect Trump signaled that the U.S. would impose tariffs on Mexico and Canada, tying it to border security. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced over $100 million in funding to help struggling residents lower their energy bills. According to a press release, the funding will come from the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. The program will provide payment and assistance for residents to pay their energy bills and help them winterize their homes to become more energy efficient. Any residents who are interested in seeing if they qualify for the program can do so online. In preparation for a busy holiday travel season, AAA has announced it will once again activate its Tow-to-Go service. The service offers a safe ride for Wisconsin residents who become impaired while taking part in holiday festivities, bringing both them and their car to a safe place within a 10-mile radius. The Tow-to-Go service is free to use for anyone, even if you're not a member of AAA. The service should only be used in emergencies, and if travelers plan to partake in activities that could leave them impaired, they should plan their travel ahead of time. Duluth International Airport officials are seeking more funding after reporting a record high number of flights in September. Officials say there were over 17,000 flights at the airport in September, which outpaced the previous record-setting August by about 2,000. They say an increase in funding will help the airport meet the rapidly growing demand. The Duluth International Airport is already planning a number of significant infrastructure upgrades, including the construction of a new air traffic control tower they hope will be finished by 2026. A Rusk County teen who had been arrested for trespassing, burglary, and attempted arson is now facing official charges. According to court documents, 18-year-old Orion Lane of Ladysmith was accused of breaking into two places, stealing multiple firearms and ammunition from one of them, and attempting to set fires inside both of them. He is scheduled to appear in Rusk County Court to answer on the charges in January. Lane is also facing felony burglary charges in Rusk County, stemming from separate accusations against him in October. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Giannis named Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That after leading the Bucks to a four-game winning streak. Right now, Giannis, averaging over 32 points a game, is the most in the NBA. The Bucks are in Miami to play the Heat. NFL, Packers safety Xavier McKinney made his seventh interception of the season against the 49ers Sunday night. The ball intended for Deebo Samuel. I asked McKinney what happened next.
So I just played for the tip, and luckily it bounced right to me. I was in the right spot, and I was able to make a play.
The Packers host the Dolphins Thursday night, kickoff at 7:20. Badgers football on Friday. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota at 11 a.m., playing for the Paul Bunyan Axe.
Regardless if it's Friday at 11 o'clock or if they'd have put it at Saturday at night. It comes down to a one-game season. It comes down to a battle for an axe, and anybody that can't get up for that doesn't belong in either one of these places.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and a low in the upper teens tonight. For tomorrow, looks mostly cloudy, highs around 30. Cold with a brisk wind and a few flurries for Thanksgiving, high mid-20s. It clears out and becomes even colder for Friday with sunshine, high into the upper teens. Right now, it's 20.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Al Petrelli, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show, and filmmaker Emmett Lavorty. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Tuesday to us all. Feels like a Friday for me. Mm-hmm. You can join us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tomorrow, I will be out gallivanting around John and Gordy.
Nice for you.
John and Gordy, the John and Gordy Show. They're going to step in. Thank you, John and Gordy. And Jess, you will produce those fine gentlemen. They usually play out at WMDX in Madison, 6 to 8 a.m. They're going to step in and hang out here with you fine folks. So please participate. Hang out with us. James Santel and Dr. Tim Slucker also going to be on the lineup with John and Gordy, filling in for me tomorrow. Jess will be here. You will be the consistent.
All week, baby.
Oh, nice. And again, once again, you can be part of this fine show, 855-752-4842. Lots of topics to get to, but I am going to drag over the topic of migrant labor here a little bit into this segment. A great conversation with Hans Brighton Moser Jr. from Merrill, Wisconsin. He was featured in a Journal Sentinel article, I guess that was last week.
Yeah, that was only last week.
It seems like a long time ago. And I loved it. Hans had emailed me a few days later. Like, I think it was Friday, and I didn't see it till the weekend because it was Friday.
It was Friday.
And so he's like, hey, I don't know the show, but some friends of mine were listening, and they said that you think I voted for... I was like, wait. And thankfully, I did not say that. I was just... angrily pondering.
Right. You were working through some thoughts. You were working through some concerns.
Yes.
And you had questions for him.
I had questions.
You had a lot of questions for him.
He answered my question.
Yeah.
Because the journalist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, normally a fine publication, even though the article was very enlightening, but the question was not asked of Hans in the Journal Sentinel about his political persuasion. Because when you're talking about being a farmer, and Hans has 400 milking cows, which means he's got a lot more than that, but those are the production cows. 12 employees, 10 of which are foreign-born. He got their I-9 and W-4s, whatever that says. It's not his job. It's not the employer's job, be it farming or service industry, restaurants or healthcare or whatever. Once you fill that form out, that's the I-9. That's what it is. They attest to the honesty of that document. There is no federal audit done by the employer. They assume that's the case. Otherwise, you could be, as mentioned, it could be racist if you say that that's not the case. So that's the plausible deniability for all the employees who would employ foreign-born workers with, you know, questionable I-9s. Another thought on that, by the way, if someone's using a fraudulent or false Social Security number, and the deductions are getting taken out as a normal course of business for FICA, which go to Social Security, Medicare, and so forth. You know, these are folks that are actually throwing more money into the system that they're never getting out.
Yeah. The statistic of how much foreign-born, non-documented immigrants in America pay towards these systems is far more.
And that would go away, too.
That would all go away.
Yeah, it's not
and
just
it's,
that.
It's
yeah.
not just the cost that it's going to be to enact these mass deportations. It's the tax revenue as well that then is not there. Not to mention just the human cost of mass deportation.
The human cost, the social angst. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more than dollars, right? I mean,
Much more than dollars here. But still, the dollars here... That's a significant factor for a lot of people who are coming in saying, well, the illegals, that's the reason why everything is so expensive.
No, man, that's why it's so cheap. Because you know what? It's going to cost you more than $13 to $30 an hour to have me go do that work. I'm just saying. I did that work already, as you all know. 855-752-4842. It's a phone line. It's a text line. A couple folks chiming in on the text line. Very busy on the texters. Let's see. Andrew from Maine. Dom is a naturally curious individual, hence why he asks so many questions. Maybe a little skeptical. Andrew, you know me well. Someone from the 262. If you didn't give a crap, I'll use that word, about
Thank
how
you.
Much illegal immigration cost the taxpayers, you get absolutely no say on how much it costs to deport them and then fly them back to their country of origin. Well, I can only assume that particular Texas said they don't. Here's another one from the same 262. They're no longer here working for poverty wages. They're here working trade jobs for good family supporting type wages, not minimum wage agriculture jobs. So stop it. Well, it wasn't minimum wage, as our buddy Hans said. He was paying them $13 to $30 an hour, depending on how long they've been there. Maybe hire legal citizens to work your farms. Again, the 262 guy. Great. I'm sure no one ever thought of that.
Definitely not Hans. I mean, he seemed so sure that he could find people who would fill that.
He said he closed it. Listen, 262, are you going to go do that work for $13 to $30 an hour up in Merrill? Are you? Because I'm sure they would take your resume right now. And they probably wouldn't be really worried about your I-9, 262-er. Of course that's the no-brainer. You could say that to them and all the other industries that undocumented. And if someone is using a... I don't want to say fraudulent, but I guess it's fraudulent. Mm-hmm. I-9.
Mm-hmm.
They're documented.
Right.
Is that considered undocumented, or is that just illegal fraudulent documentation? I'm not clear on what it is, but point is, they have the paperwork. Their papers are in order. It may not be them, but unless someone goes through and does some sort of audit, and I don't know how that's going to be found out. Again, the businesses get the pass because they got the I-9.
Mm-hmm.
I followed all the rules of Department of Labor. I did my part. What am I supposed to do? You know, do a genealogy test on everyone that works for me? Come on. So, yes, of course, the thought is to hire. But you know what? In this situation, you hire who comes to the door, man.
Mm-hmm.
855-752-4842. Let's see. Lynn from Golden Valley. Dom, the big problem for a modern dairy is you need people willing to work 7 days, a split shift from 5 to 8, and then 5... p.m. to 8 p.m. 42 hours a week. But who will do that? Well, I would say it's even tougher on Hans's farm, man. They milk those cows 3 times a week, rotating 8-hour shifts. That's a lot of people. And I don't know if our 262er buddy is going to do that. And if you're the 262er talking about the cost of deporting the migrants that are, let's just say, keeping the products moving. It's not only, according to Hans, and I believe what Hans says. Remember, I grew up out in the country. I hung out. I've been in so many barns, I don't even want to know. I've been to barn raisings. I've seen barns burn down. I've almost burned a barn down.
Only almost?
I was just saying, not a lot of supervision and lots of farm vehicles. I mean, I can't believe I literally still have all my fingers.
That is really amazing.
I mean, and the farm vehicles, I love the farm vehicles because you can actually like drive the pickup truck as long as it's a farm vehicle, quote unquote, you know? So I'm 14, 15 years old. My buddy's 16 years old. We're driving. I guess he would have had his license by then, but I certainly didn't.
You certainly didn't.
I'm driving. It's a farm vehicle, Your Honor.
It's a farm vehicle.
You could drive those things everywhere, man.
Get your hair down to your knees.
No. Oh, it was more of a mullet back then.
Oh, ooh, I need to see pictures.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Uh-huh.
But it's dangerous. It's fun. It was great. I mean, I loved getting away, getting out of my house and going hang out. It was great because I worked on my neighbor's farm. I could leave. You know what I mean? A lot of folks can't leave. If you're on that family dairy farm, again, as we mentioned, Hans has 400. The family I worked for had about 100, like a 25%. And it was just the brothers that were still working there. One sister of you know, one of the farm family had like 20 kids, you know. And my buddy was the youngest of all of them, and he was 1 year older. So when he got 18, he's like, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Went and got a job and was like done with that. So then I was just a help, but I became the more reliable help every morning. As I mentioned, at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. before I went to school. Did I ever tell you that story?
No. Okay. No, I don't think so. What did you do when you were in high school?
I used to work at my neighbor's farm when I was in high school. Yeah.
Interesting.
So it is tough work. And I guess I didn't really think about it, but I remember my buddy Cisco, who was of, I guess, Hispanic origin, never really thought about it. Man, he was fast. We'd race all the time. We were kids. Working on the farm. So, you know, growing up in it, you don't really necessarily, at least I didn't, take note. Hey, you're a kid. Who cares? I mean, it's got someone to play with. What else we got here? The text line, 855-752-4842. Steady Eddie. Dom, my dad worked at a meatpacking plant for 30-plus years. A tough job, but was a good-paying blue-collar job at the time. He had health care, vacation, earned a pension. Today, taking a job at a meatpacking plant would be a road to nowhere. Yeah, you would say that about lots of industries. You know, pensions, what?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist anymore. Healthcare, I mean, if you're lucky.
If you're very lucky.
If you're lucky. Vacation, you know, as soon as you get a little time off, but those cows, they got to get milked all mm-hmm. the time.
Every 8 hours.
I know, right?
Every 8 hours.
DJ from Madison, great guest. Awesome interview with Hans. You need to introduce him to Gary from Sussex and see what happens. Yeah, I think we all need a little more Hans in our life, for real.
Absolutely.
Llama from Madison. I honestly believe Trump doesn't want a good economy. He wants a bad economy to force us to servanthood. I've seen CEO talks about putting the workforce in their place. Well, there is that. There is that. 855-752-4842. All right, let's get to some of the actual phone callers. Wisco Paul, man, you are up. Happy days, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon, Dom. Good show today. I also worked on a friend's farm when I was young. I do believe he milked around 60 cows.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about hard work. And they did it like in every 12 hours, if I remember
mm-hmm.
right. 6 in the morning and 6 at night, and they had to be. And it was an never-ending job. And
yeah.
I said, there's no way I want to do this the rest of my life. But, it helped me in my youth, you know, pay
sure,
bills and
sure.
stuff. But
builds character.
I learned some hard lessons out there. Yeah. Hey, and you know what? Trump isn't even in it's not even in office yet, Dom, and he's already doing the tariff thing and the immigration thing. If he would just, when he does take office, if he would just stay on the golf course and never say anything, we'd all be better off. So that's my 2 cents today. Great show.
Right on, Paulie. Appreciate you listening, man. Have a great Thanksgiving. Lisa from Racine, we'll squeeze you in. Lisa, welcome. What do you got for us? Oh, hang on. There we are. Hey, Lisa, welcome. Oh, hello, Lisa, you're on.
Nope.
What happened to Lisa?
Oh, you put her on.
All right, hang on. Let's do this again.
Okay, there
my
we
bad,
go.
Lisa. Thank you for waiting. What do you got for?
Oh, that's okay. Oh, hey, Dom. Happy almost Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
anyway,
you too.
I thank you. So my idea, which probably isn't a good idea, and I don't want it to ever come to fruition, is that he's going to take all of us that didn't vote for him and put us in all of those jobs.
You're going to force labor on the farm, Lisa? Oh, no, return to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa from Racine, you know, that'd be a hell of a spot to be in. I don't ever think that would happen, but I appreciate your, what we would call that. That was pretty dark.
Doom forecasting? Doom casting?
Right. Thank you, Lisa from Racine. Folks, come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash Bell makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bell Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, talking about migrant labor, undocumented migrant labor. From a conversation we had with our farmer buddy, Hans Brighton Moser Jr. from Merrill, Wisconsin. Lots of texters chiming in on that. We will get to more of that as well. I want to throw this one out there for your consideration on this topic. This is from CBS News from this afternoon. Tom Holman, selected by President-elect Donald Trump to be the border czar in the new administration, traveled Tuesday to the U.S.-Mexican border with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, blasting the Biden White House's reaction to the immigration crisis and vowing Trump's planned mass deportations will be conducted. Here's a quote from the incoming border czar today. Let me be clear. I think he's talking to you, Hans, and maybe you, Kevin, up in Merrill. Let me be clear. There's going to be a mass deportation because we just finished a mass illegal immigration crisis on the border. He said Trump's incoming administration is already planning, and we're not waiting until January to secure this nation at the highest levels this nation has ever seen. And so does that security come at the price of taking perhaps 10 of Tom's 12 migrant workers? And thereby closing down his 400 milking dairy farm. And what? Then what? So now he's got to go sell those cows because, no, you know, you can't, mm-hmm. can't have the labor to milk them. And they got to get milk. I mean, cows, I mean, they're producing milk. If mm-hmm. you don't get it out, it's bad. It gets infection. Yeah. I mean, you got to do it. And sometimes, and I get the three times a day that Tom does, and again, when I was growing up, it was only twice, and that was a lot. That was a lot for us. 855-752-4842. Hans, yes, Hans. All right, a couple of the texters. Let's see here what Mary says. Thank you. Well, you're very welcome, Mary. Thank you for listening. Also, Linda from Milwaukee. Hey, Dom, comment on this. If the economy is so bad per the faux news channel, how come so many people are traveling this holiday week? Record travels, my understanding.
My understanding is also that we are going to be seeing the most affordable Thanksgiving dinners.
What?
In American history.
Thank you, Bidenomics.
Uh-huh.
Way to go. Yeah, okay. What else we got? John, what did John say? I'd like to take a moment to mention while everyone's gathering perishable foods and preparing for a garden, like during the COVID, I don't think enough people are doing so now. If you're truly worried about tariffs and how much food is going to cost over the next 4 years, suggest you do it like myself and others who plan to be prepared and gather non-perishable foods that will last for years. John, if that makes you feel comfortable. I had a weird upbringing.
Yeah. So that's why you are the way you are.
Just one of the many reasons. I remember my parents bought like a bunch of vacuum packed, nuclear war, Holocaust food, beans and whatever. We had shelves just full of it. That would last, years.
Did you use them? Did you eat them?
No.
That was just the emergency supply. Okay.
Yep,
okay.
Yep. That if something ever happened. Of course, but at the same time, and nothing ever happened, and then we all grew up, and parents got divorced, and that got thrown out with everything else. So I guess it made people feel good for a while. But it always was funny to me because my parents were also the types that would never have a gun in the house.
Sure.
So you got a good stock of food. How are you going to protect that? It was just kind of
stern words and finger wagging.
Stay off my property.
All right.
So yes, I mean that's certainly a possibility. But again. Eating the non-perishable as a regular course and getting through your stock and maybe recycling it. I want some eggs, man. I want some fresh food.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for your contribution, Julie from Wausau. Thanks for having Hans on to explain how mass deportations would affect us all. My son worked for a farmer in Lincoln County who paid $20 an hour. This was 15 years ago. He couldn't talk any of his friends into working on the farm. Yeah, I get that. The farmer refused to hire foreign-born workers, and now he's out of business. Wah, wah, wah.
Shocking.
What does Andrew from Maine says? Put it more direct. Do the employers know they're hiring individuals with incorrect paperwork any more than they know if the applicant is truthful about their criminal history? That's a great question, Andrew from Maine. I mean, certainly you have an indication. And one of the things I didn't get to with Hans was the driving, getting a driver's license. And, of course, as mentioned, you can drive a farm vehicle without a license. But it's also very difficult. If you're working on the farm, you got to get back and forth. If you don't live on the farm, you still got to get there. So presumably you got to have a license, a car. If you have a car, then you have a license. You get pulled over by the locals and you don't have the proper documentation. You don't have a driver's license. Then you get nickel and dimed to death by the system, which are more than happy to use the cheaper labor than no labor at all and higher prices. We're all fine with that because this is not just Hans. It's not just the employees. It's not just the employers. It's also the consumers as well. And it's also the government that allows this to continue, that uses this as a political tool to win elections. And when we already have the ability, we have work visas. Unfortunately, these dairy farming is a year-round situation. You got to be there 24/7, 365. It doesn't stop. It's not like you come in for the season and pick the fruits and vegetables and then leave, which we also have visas for that. We can fix the problem legislatively. The employees, the workers want to work and have a good life and work for the money and take care of their family. Like all of us do. The employers, they need the labor. That's how you get the product out. Hans himself, or I don't care how many kids he's got, better have a lot. If you're milking 400 cows 3 times a week or 3 times a day, you cannot personally do that with a family. You got to hire somebody. So the employees want to work to get paid. The employers need them. We as a society, as consumers, we want the cheaper. If you had to hire someone else, you got to hire me. It's going to be a lot more than $13 an hour to go do that job. I've done that job because now I'm an expert. You know what I mean? It's going to be way higher. So now you're going to have and of course, you're going to have people get shut down. Hans, he can't do that. He can't do it with two people. If you get rid of the only folks that he has, there's no one else up there, 262 or Texter. It ain't there. You can stand on the rooftop and say, I will pay you $30 an hour. Are you doing it? I don't think so. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. More your calls, more your text.
Your You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will officially begin selling state park passes under their new 12-month system next week. Earlier this year, Governor Tony Evers approved a bill that would allow state park passes to be valid for 12 months from the month that they were purchased, rather than expiring at the end of the calendar year. The hope is more residents will buy the 12-month pass and take advantage of all the outdoors activities the state offers. The new passes can be purchased online or at state park properties starting on Monday. Wisconsin's public defenders are expressing concerns over lawyer shortages in some of the more rural areas of the state. According to a report from the state bar, nearly half of the lawyers in Wisconsin live in heavily populated areas like Milwaukee and Madison. For rural counties, a lack of public defenders has put a larger workload on the lawyers that are available, leading to case backlogs and further staffing issues. Public defenders have been pushing for salary increases in the upcoming state budget, hoping the higher salaries will attract more lawyers. Barron County officials are making progress on plans to conduct maintenance work on the Rice Lake Dam over the summer. The county thus far has struggled to find bidders to take on the project, and officials say they now plan to purchase the parts for the maintenance work themselves and then provide them to the eventual installers. The plan is to have the installations fully completed by the end of September. Officials also say that the planned work should not disrupt the recreation options on the lake, so residents can fully enjoy it over the summer. A memorial for a Village of Cameron police officer killed in the line of duty has been completed and will soon be officially unveiled for the public. According to a Facebook post from the Cameron Police Department, the Hunter Shield Memorial will be formally unveiled on the morning of December 4th, honoring the sacrifice he and Officer Emily Breidenbach made. The two were killed in the line of duty after conducting a traffic stop of Glenn Perry, who then shot at both Officer Shield and Breidenbach, but was shot and killed as well during the incident. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickhead Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and a low in the upper teens tonight. For tomorrow, looks mostly cloudy, highs around 30. Cold with a brisk wind and a few flurries for Thanksgiving, high mid-20s. It clears out and becomes even colder for Friday with sunshine high into the upper teens. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a pre-Thanksgiving special, Trigby Olson, The Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow with a Martha Stewart recipe. Be with us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. All tuned up for a Tuesday night. Thank you for joining us. It's a phone line. It's a text line. You texters are very, very active, but the phones, they get priority because they talk. That means I don't have to read. I can't believe how many people are so interested in my farming stories. I can't wait.
It's all about you, Dom.
I can't wait to tell my kids how interesting my farm stories are.
I know.
855-752-4842. Phones get priority. Lynn from Oconomowoc, you're up. Welcome, Lynn. What do you got for us?
Thanks for taking my call. On the topic of picking winners and losers, there is no farm bill right now, and it looks like the feds are turning off the spigot to farmers. Mm. On the topic of tariffs, during the first Trump administration in about 2017, there were $11.5 billion in farm subsidies, and that increased to about $32 billion in 2020. Mm-hmm. And Politico reported that government payments to farmers were unsustainable at that level. So are tariffs just a big scam to bankrupt small farms and further consolidate our food supply in the hands of a few?
Oh, that's a great point, Lynn. That's a great point. And if it's not the part of the plan, it's certainly a welcome byproduct of that. And Lynn, you know, and we brought this up recently as well. This wasn't like the auto bailout where, you know, the government gave money to the auto industry and then most of that got paid back with interest, Lynn. When Trump started the tariff war with China, and they retaliated by not buying the ginseng and other agricultural products from Wisconsin, Donald Trump just, you know, went to pocket and just gave them like $20-30 billion. I think, like you said, it was 11 and went up to like 30, so it was about a net 20 more, and that was just in 1 year. And that, there's no recovering that. That was just cash out the door, Lynn. Happened to also be, if I recall, during the election time for election. So he was more than happy to, you know, provide government subsidies that will never be paid back to, you know, a lot of folks that ended up going to vote for him. Weird how that works. Great point, Lynn, on the consolidation of the food industry. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom from the Leftist Coast, you're next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Oh, hey, Dom. First off, I am a proud FDR Democrat, and I hope everybody goes
to
the Second Economic Bill of Rights, please. Second, you know, it's interesting because living here in California, what I noticed as a trend was, you know, the farmers had no problem, paying the Latinos very low wages. But then all of a sudden, when that Latino wanted to go and start his own business, And you know, get his own stuff going for his family, all of a sudden it's cries of, oh, they're coming in here taking our jobs. Oh, they're illegal. Oh, they're illegal. But you know what? We don't have an illegal immigration problem in this country. We have an illegal employment problem in this country. And
we talked to Hans today, and my impression, he didn't come out and say it because, you know, someone gives you an I-9 and you check your box. You have your plausible deniability and you got someone that's going to show up to work. You're fine. You're happy with that. Who enforces that? What do you see as a step to, you know, quote unquote, weed that out? Because even my only solution to this, Tom, is you got to get some sort of, you know, workers permit program. Because if these folks are not allowed to do it, and you're going to now all of a sudden do some administrative rule where you do a follow up and somehow confirm that is or is not the person on the I-9. Well, a couple things are going to happen. Either that labor is just going to go away, or you got to pay someone locally much more money. Now, Hans already said he's out. So even when you go into a quote-unquote enforcement mode, even without talking about mass deportation, it's going to impact the current employment situation.
Absolutely, and I think that's where you need to have either an E-Verify type system, or what you need to do is stop yelling about the immigration problem when you're using it for your own employment.
Right, man. Come on, Tom. That's what I'm saying.
Like, stop it.
Is everybody, man. Go ahead.
And then to demonize people and to make them into another, like they're, you know, they are your slaves. It's like, I mean, at least Hans is saying he takes, you know, care of his people, and he's actually standing up for people. He's a very, very, I would say, rare person in that case, because a lot of these guys that are, you know, bitching about the fact that, you know, we have illegal immigration and this problem are the ones that are benefiting from the cheap labor.
Well, and if you believe Hans, Tom, some of those folks don't even know that that's who they're talking about. They see an illegal immigrant in their head, and they see, you know, somebody's going to come over the border with a bunch of fentanyl and a knife and slash your daughter after raping them in the kitchen in the throat, right? That's what we've been told. And at the same point, they're actually employing these folks that they're going to end up getting deported if Donald Trump actually follows through with what he's going to say. So according to Hans and some of his anecdotal evidence with conversations with the folks, those aren't the folks. It's not the foreign-born Hispanic folks that are working around us. No, they're the fine ones. It's all the others that we can't see and don't know about that you know, Donald Trump and all the righties, man, and the ads for this election season were just filthy with this. And not knowing, that a majority of their own employees probably do not have accurate I-9s. It is just, it's very frustrating to me. But I and Hans didn't want to use the word ignorance. And I'm not saying ignorant in a bad way. I mean, we're all ignorant, man. We all don't know something. Are you curious enough? And once you learn something, does it alter, you know, your position on it? You know, that's what matters. And you know what? It'll really become strikingly aware if and when Donald Trump's goons show up and start hauling 10 of Hans's 12 employees out because they didn't, you know, dot the I, cross the T, or had a wrong I-9 or whatever their verification is. And all of a sudden, Tom's got to try milking 400 cows three times a day with three people. You're going to be very well aware then. And there's going to be no ignorance then. You're going to know. Oh, what happened? Oh, I voted for Trump, and he actually said what he was going to do, but I thought that was going to affect other people and not me, and now I don't have a labor force, and now I got to sell my cows. But, oh, my God, now that the price of cows, everyone's selling their cows. We can't even get them slaughtered now because all the Hispanics from and foreign-born labor from the slaughterhouses are also gone. So just, you know, stick a fork in them and have a grill out. I mean, what are you talking about, people? And it's frustrating because you should absolutely know this. It's hard for me to comprehend that someone would not. So thank you, Hans. I guess that's why we need to keep having these conversations.
Absolutely.
Annie from Watertown, 855-752-4842. Calls take priority. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
I don't know. There's so much to do with farmers. So much. I don't understand. But one thing is, when Trump's ag secretary visited the area here in Wisconsin, he talked like, hey, sorry, you know, big F you to you little farmers, you know, mm-hmm. you're the old style, you know, big farmers, the way big farm or big agra, whatever I call it.
Big ag, right.
And there was no outrage. There was no, you know, it just was sort of like, oh, this is what he said. Okay, whatever. You know, like, wait a minute. You know, he just dissed the whole idea of small farms.
Mm-hmm.
And around my area here, I don't know farms with Mexican workers. You know, it's mostly family farms. And I don't know why they think, you know, they all read the same stuff at the co-op, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the co-op tells them, oh, look out for the terrorists that are going to come in and film how you mistreat your animals and everything like that. And they think, oh, yeah, we got to fight against them, where they treat their animals just fine. But they sort of get sucked into this whole thing that they are part of the farm movement, where, you know, no, the farm movement is wiping you guys out, honey, you know?
Yeah. Thank you, Annie. The disinformation and misinformation seemingly is striking, and it really bothers me. And I think Hans made the point is that the diminishment of the labor and the mocking and all that, and not really appreciate it, because not only are they, and you know, there is animal abuse. I mean, that happens, and I don't know. I mean, I would consider some of these large chicken farms. I mean, oh my God, you see them when you're driving around the country, and you can certainly smell them. You know, and sometimes life isn't great for a farm animal. Let's just put it that way.
Frequently.
So and that is tough, and we should as a society try to make sure that our meals are as taken good care of as possible. Let's put it that way. But if you don't have a labor force, you don't have a farm. And when I was, again, not to harken back, but the 100 plus cows that my neighbor's farm had at the time, to my recollection, was one of the largest dairy farms around. This is before the calves. I mean, this is in the 80s, right? Before anything that I remember. It was a huge operation for a family farm, to my recollection. When I would think about all the other farms in the area that we would go to, we had our four-wheelers, man. We all drive to the other farms and hang out and do stuff. And this was one of the largest ones. And now we're talking, Hans got 400, and that doesn't match the CAFOs, man. I mean, some of these places are just, huge, huge operations. And I guess, that does happen. Look at, your hardware store, your little local hardware store. I mean, those things are gone, basically.
If you can find a local hardware store to look at.
Go use it.
Go find it. Use it. Pay the money.
Right.
Purchase things.
So it's a tough lifestyle. I mean, it is, as one of the texters mentioned, try to get her son 15 years ago working on a farm. None of his buddies wanted to do it. Man, when I was growing up, none of my buddies wanted to do it. And they all worked on farms. They're like, no, thank you.
They knew what they were getting out of.
Right. 855-752-4842. Couple of the texters. You can always call, but we'll take the text as well. Robert from Fond du Lac, talking about our 262 buddy who was lamenting the foreign workers getting hired. Hey, Dom, the problem with 262 working at a dairy farm, even if they would do it for $13 an hour, is 262 would take twice as long to do anything since the current farm workers are experienced. That would cost the farmer much more money. Yes, there is. Experience does matter. And not only that, it's also can be a dangerous job, not just on the farm. Like, I mean, farmers, you gotta be a mechanic, right? You gotta know agriculture. You gotta know animals. I mean, farming is hard. It's hard work and it never, ever ends. So, I mean, I get the consolidation. I mean, there's economies of scale. And if you don't have folks on the, kids that, grew up on their parents' farm that no longer want anything to do with it, what do? Sell it off. It's the American way. And move to the city, I guess. So what's going to happen? So Trump's going to come in, clear everything out, clear everybody out, and there's not going to be anybody left out in the country to do the work. I don't know. Where is the success in that, and how does that lower prices? I like my conservative friends to note. Let's see here. What else we got? Kurt from Madison. The top three wrestlers when I was in high school live and worked on a farm. Oh, Kurt, there is such a thing as farm strong. I am not farm strong. I'm strong for a little guy, but man, my buddy Marty, he was farm strong. That guy was an animal. He could, I mean, baling the hay, throwing the feet around. I mean,
it takes some serious muscle.
Yeah, and to walk out with all your limbs is amazing. And so if you're gonna have 262 go get on, he's gonna get on the job, right? Uh-huh. You're gonna drive the tractors. You're gonna work the equipment. Watch out for those elevators from when you're putting the hay up into the mow. The kiddies get their legs pulled off. Don't get your finger in there. Come on, people. We need this. This is ridiculous. Here's a very easy solution. Legislatively, talking to Tom Tiffany, talking to you conservative congressmen, pass a worker visa thing, man. These people are already here. They got work history. They're not these aren't the droids you're looking for. 855-752-4842. It is us as consumers, and it is us through our lack of legislation, through the lack of effort from our politicians that continue to allow this to happen. And it's not fair for the workers. And it's certainly not fair for the not fair for us. And it's not fair for the farmers as well. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you? your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and today's Work Money word is fiduciary. Well, fiduciary is a mega important term that you gotta know when it comes to getting professional financial advice. In the world of money, you want someone committed to the fiduciary standard because those folks are legally obligated to act in your best interest only. I mean, every other broker or advisor or banker who has not specifically committed to the fiduciary standard and told you that that's what they're doing, those folks don't have that obligation. They could be selling you products or encouraging you to invest in things or put your money in places that end up helping their wallet even more than yours. So simply put, anytime that you are hiring a financial advisor, ask them if they uphold the fiduciary standard. For me and mine, fiduciary advisors are the only ones I'm trusting my money to. That was your Work Money Minute. For more, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You texters, you're very busy with your fingers today, but the phone clients, they work too, and the phones always get priority. Nancy Absolutely. From Madison, you are next. Welcome, Nancy. What do you got for us?
Hi, I just want to quickly let everyone know that the deportation or the threat of it is already impacting our communities. My father's in a memory care unit at a nursing home, and they lost three people in the last 2 weeks that are Hispanic. They are here legally, but some members of their family are not. And so they decided to pack up and leave the U.S. because of the way they're being treated. Two of them, their husbands are roofers. So, I mean, and these are wonderful people, hard workers doing jobs that no one else, I mean, I give them so credit. They're loving, caring people. They've done a wonderful job with our families. And I mean, it's already, we're already going to be hurting it. You know, we're already feeling it, and it's just sad.
It is. It is. Thank you for sharing, Nancy. Great points. Yeah, it's not just the individuals. It's it's the workers. It's the extended family. It's their circumstances. It's everything that goes along with it. It's not just a number on a spreadsheet.
No, and it's these ripple effects. You know, Nancy is talking about these healthcare facilities that are already critically understaffed. They are already running skeleton shifts, and now they're losing three people in 2 weeks. I mean, that's not sustainable at all. So this isn't just going to be agriculture. This isn't just going to be a narrow field like dairy in Wisconsin. This is healthcare. This is hospitality. This is food service. This is everything that we are used to falling apart.
Yep. Yep. Because those evil immigrants. Aren't we all immigrants?
Yes.
Andrew from Maine points out there are five job openings for the caller from the 262, three healthcare housekeepers, and two roofers. Well, there you go. Andrew from Maine, great point. 262, where you got lots of places, lots of choices to go get some work, should you choose to. John from West Dallas, he points out farming, you have to be a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. I have deep respect. Again, being as close as I was to those cats, it was just amazing. and a family to do to boot, let alone these big capitals, nothing like that. What else we got here from the 920? Think about this. Deportation is also a nice tool to put small business farms out of business so no big business can buy the small farms cheap. Ooh, now that's an interesting thought. Targeted. Targeted deportation efforts. You stay away from your donors at the CAFOs and you go after guys like Hans. Hey, he's got a lot of cows. He's got pretty good production over there. Well, let's just charge that guy and make him lose his farm.
Topple him, get to the point where he needs to sell his cows, sell the farm, and can't sell it to anyone because everyone else is selling. Well, there's one buyer.
There's one buyer, and it happens to be the Trump donor. This is how they did like the railroads back in the days out west. Come on. Oh, what else we got? Let's see, 855-752-4842. Old McDonald had a farm. Oh yeah. Old McDommy had a farm.
Worked a farm.
Did I tell you that story?
Something about cows.
Lynn from Oconomowoc. Hey, wasn't Trump using non-documented workers? My question is, he still using non-documented workers? Possibly a good place to have the first raid. Yeah, good point. I did do a quick search on that, and my understanding was. New York Times article I did come across from back in 2019, where apparently all of a sudden a lot of the employees started turning over at Mar-a-Lago. I think the answer to that would be, of course, if you're in hospitality, yes, you are. Let's see, what else do we have here?
We've got Janet from La Crosse. Hi, Dom. Enjoy the positive energy of your show. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks, Janet.
Immigrant groups include young people and young families. Our country needs the upcoming youth to offset aging baby boomer retirees. Yeah, man.
Yep.
And a lot of people in my generation who are choosing not to have kids or to postpone having kids, we've got an aging population.
Who's going to take care of them?
Who's going to take care of them?
Baling hay is some hard work, especially if you end up in the barn. John from West Dallas, you know what I'm talking about. Being up top wasn't so bad when you first started. So you go into the barn and you're on the first level and you start stacking, and you get higher and higher and higher and higher as it goes. They keep hauling the loads. It keeps coming in, By the time you get, to the top, and it's summertime too, man. It's hot. Hot, man.
That just sounds miserable. It is dusty.
And this is before anyone had the good sense to wear like a mask. So you're breathing all this stuff, straw and all the hay in all day. And it's, I know like you see the movies or read the books and they're, the cartoons.
It's so romantic.
Make love in the hay. Yeah. No. Especially straw. That's the worst. You better bring a blanket. I mean, that is not a good idea. And I'm talking from experience. Let's see. We got who's going to be rebuilding the homes after the storms? Who's going to be roofing on millions of homes? Yes, Gary from Madison. A good point. I think we got someone at the 262 who's ready to jump up on that roof and get to work, man. I think we've kind of made the point. This is ridiculous. We're all at fault. So let's acknowledge that. I, as a consumer, I get some of the benefit of this cheaper product. The employees that use fraudulent I-9s, I get it. You want to work, but, that's not okay, too. We should have a work permit process. The employees who maybe know, but, you got plausible deniability. Well, here we also. So let's just say we all know what's happening. And what's the easiest possible solution? Work permits, man. I mean, we already got them. Let's just make them right. And folks that break the law, folks, we can handle all those things. We can do many things at once. Mass deportation, give me a break. You're gonna bankrupt this country without the immigrants. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family. Stick around right now. Pete Schwab, the Nightlight, is coming up next.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Jimmy Koska, guest host The Maggie Dawn Show. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.